Pray that you would encourage his heart. I thank you for my brother, Father God. Regardless of the struggles he has in his life, Father, I pray that your overwhelming love right now would just overtake him. And Father, with that overwhelming love, Father, I pray that you would encourage his heart, that you'd speak to his mind as he's all the way in Arkansas, away from his family here. And I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that though the enemy that would be speaking to his mind, into his ears, into his heart, we command you to shut your mouth right now in Jesus' name. And Father, as saints of God, as fellow heirs of Christ, Father, we lift him up. And Father, we ask that you would just encourage my brother in Jesus' name, Father. Your blessings of encouragement and strength will come upon him. Father, that you would, we declare healing over his body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. We just declare healing and wholeness to his body. We thank you, Father God, for Christian Tanner. Bless our brother. Bless our brother, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we pray that you still answer prayer. Lord, I don't care what sicknesses are going around. Father, I pray that we wouldn't bow to anything or be fearful of anything that we read or hear about. Father, we thank you that our wholeness, our health is in you. We declare that, Father. Our health and our wholeness is in you. Regardless of our age, we thank you. And we speak health over our body right now in Jesus' name, Father. We thank you for health in our bodies, Father. We thank you for health in our bodies, Father God. Keeping us healthy, Father God. Those in this body who've been sick, Father, we just declare healing. We declare healing over their body. So we thank you, Father. We thank you for exciting us. Exuberance in our hearts because of your word as we worship you right now. Father, as we worship you, let us realize, Father, that we are worshiping with angels. Father, that our worship goes right to the throne room of heaven where there's worship all around the world coming before your throne. There's worship in your throne room, Father God. So as we connect and worship, Father, because we have your Holy Spirit, because we are seated with you in heavenly places, Father God, we thank you for that connection as we come into your Holy of Holies with boldness and worship you tonight, Father God, regardless of what's going on. Thank you for the joy of the Lord. We thank you for strength. Lord, we thank you for boldness. And we praise and worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. It's all yours, Miss Gina.
I pray for an encounter, Lord, while he's in that hospital bed, Lord. Whether it be an angel, Lord, or just your presence that would come into that hospital room and he would have a visitation, Father, that would just wake him up, Father. Literally wake him up, Father. We just thank you, Lord, for an encounter with the Holy Spirit. We just, God, we've heard so many testimonies of that, Father, and we just pray that for him tonight, God. We pray that for him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. We bless you tonight, Lord. Let's sing, I will bless the Lord forever. Oh, and I will trust him at all times. Oh, yes, we will. He has delivered me. Amen. He has delivered me from all fear. Yes, he has. And he has set my feet upon a rock. Oh, and I will not be moved, and I'll say of the Lord, you are my shield, my strength, my portion, deliverer, my shelter, a strong tower, my very present help in time of need. of need. Tonight we worship you, Lord. Sing, I will bless the Lord again. Sing, I will bless the Lord forever. We trust you, Lord. And I will trust him at all times. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for he has delivered me from all fear. Yes, you have. Yes, you have, Lord. And he has set my feet upon a rock. I will not be moved. I will not be moved. And I'll say of the Lord, you are my shield, my strength, my portion, deliverer, my shelter, a strong tower, my very present help in time of need. Oh, Lord, in time of need, we worship you. Sing, whom have I in heaven? Whom have I in heaven but you? There is none, Lord. And there's none that I desire besides you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And you have made me glad. And I'll say of the Lord, you are my shield, my strength, my portion, deliverer, my shelter, a strong tower, my very present help. You are my shield, yes, you are my strength, my portion, deliverer, my shelter, a strong tower, my very present help in time of need. Oh Lord, you're my very present help in time of need. Yes, he is, church. He's our help. You're my very present help in time of need. Oh, thank you, Lord. You are strength, Lord. You are our shield, God. Oh, very present help, Lord. Time of trouble, Lord. You are always with us, Lord. No matter what's going on, God, we trust you, Lord. We trust you with our family. We trust you with everything, Lord. Yes, we do, Lord. Oh, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Oh, sits upon the throne. We bless you, Lord, tonight, God. Oh, we love you, Lord. We worship you. Lord, we worship you. Thank you, Father. We worship you. We worship you. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. Oh. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for your unfailing love. You never fail us, Lord. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me, yes, God. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life for me, yes, God. 'Cause you have been so, so kind to me. And all the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for your love. Oh, yes, we do tonight. Just tell him tonight. Oh, Lord, we love you. Amen. Here we go. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. Amen. You have been so, so good to me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. Yes, he did, church. I love this. Oh, 'cause you have been so, so kind to me. Oh, yes, Lord. 'Cause all the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. And I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it.
Yes.
Give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, Jesus. Amen. We worship you. We thank you for that love. There's no shadow you won't light up. I'm singing the wrong tune. There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb up. Coming after me. Yes, Lord. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, who coming after me. Amen to that. Oh, there's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Oh, there's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Sing it again. There's no shadow you won't, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me, Jesus. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till leaves the 99, and I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it, but still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. tell them tonight, we thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for your grace, God. You never leave us, Lord. You never forsake us, God. We thank you, Lord, for the love of God never leaves us. No matter where we go, no matter what we've done, you are faithful, faithful, faithful to the very end, Lord. God, you're faithful, you are faithful to the very end. Oh, thank you, Lord. Faithful, you are faithful, God. Thank you, Lord. You are so faithful tonight, Lord. You never leave us. Amen. Oh, we worship you. Love that song. Amen. It's not on.
Amen. He was right. Well, we'll be seated if you can be. Amen. You know, when we were worshiping, though, I started thinking, let me just read a little bit of scripture. Don't you love how the Word of God encourages you?
Yes.
I really do. And so in Judges 6, you guys know this story, but was just thinking about Gideon. You remember Gideon? Now, the Midianites and the Amalekites came every summer and fall when it's harvest time, would take all, can you imagine, take the all the harvest of the Israelites, take everything, take all their animals. They were hiding, it says, in caves and holes in the ground. It says that Israel had become very low to the point of they didn't have anything. They were being oppressed. I love how an angel of the Lord says, came to Gideon. And he says to him in Judges 6, and it says, the Lord, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him, Gideon, and said to him, the Lord is with you, valiant warrior. As it just mentioned, he's hiding, right? He's hiding. And the Lord said, valiant warrior. Then Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did the Lord not bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to Midian. And the Lord looked at him, and the Lord said, well, let me tell you. It's because of this or that, but it said that the Lord looked at him. The Lord said to him, I will certainly be with you. So the Lord looked at him and didn't say, well, it's because of this reason or that reason. It didn't even answer his questions. He just looked at him and said, go in this strength of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? But he said to him, O Lord, how am I to save Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest of my father's house. Yet the Lord said to him, I will certainly be with you, and you will defeat Midian as one man. And so, you know, in a low spot, and he comes to him and he says, what happened, Lord? What happened to your great power? What happened to your miracles? And just as we are singing this worship, and let us not be a people that says, Lord, what happened to your power? Lord, what happened to your miracles? Lord, where have you, what have you done to us? Have you abandoned us? It could be as a family. It could be as a nation. And it's interesting how the Lord looked at him after all these complaints. And he said, go in your might and your power. So for us, I'm just saying tonight, let us go in his might and power. Let's not just ask a lot of questions about why this and why that and why this. But let's know that the Lord has anointed us. And so you know the story that after, I just always find that interesting as he complains and said, Lord, why have you abandoned us? And it says the Lord just looked at him and said, go in the power I've given you. I'm not going to even address those things right now, but I want to do something new in the land right now. So let's not start asking questions, why this and that. Let's listen to his voice and say, Lord, what can we do now? Lord, what can we do now? I was talking to a man a few days ago, and he had some health issues. And it was interesting because I was talking about health and healing, talking about salvation and seeing the Lord. And the first thing that came out of his mouth was, when I stand before the Lord, I'm going to stand before him and say, why? And the problem is when we have that in our heart, we are stuck in a, why did this happen? Why am I at where I'm at? Why is this individual or my family member or whatever, why are they at where they're at? And when we sit there and do a lot of why, whys, we don't say, Lord, what do you have to say to me? Lord, I'm your servant. I love you. What do you want to say to me? Lord, my ears are open. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that your people, it's easy to say, why, Lord, is this happening to our nation? Why, Lord, is this happening in my circumstances? And then as just like the angel of the Lord, he didn't even address those things. He says, I want to use you. There's a move of God coming. You can't look at the past. Can't ask the questions of why things happened. But to move forward in Jesus' name, amen. We're all called to be a Gideon because we have the Spirit of God living in us, amen. Just like we're all kings and priests. We read that last week when I started on the subject of King David, which we're going to continue this Sunday, which I'm really excited about, actually. It's going to be good stuff. Anytime you're declaring and speaking and amplifying the Word of God, isn't it good? It's always good. And so Gideon, listening to the Lord, he could have said no. People say no. I want answers to why this and this happened. And so this man was saying, I want to know why my health did this and why this happened. I want to know why this happened. And you could see he was just stuck in miry clay, stuck in mud. So as I began to, you know, to try to encourage him and minister to him and actually give him some truth, saying, hey, I visited with some people this week that have it worse than you. And their attitude is such that, hey, I'm believing God to heal me, or by gosh, I'm going to see his face. I can't wait to see it. You know, your attitude of, let's not have an attitude of, why, Lord, but an attitude of, what can I do, Father? Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts. Lord, I believe that's a word from you. Lord, thank you for allowing us to shine your word in our hearts and say, Lord, is that me? Lord, is there something that's in a certain area of my heart that's saying why? And I have to get rid of that, hon. I'm hitting that once or twice every time I'm up here. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't have the whys. We'll be listening and saying, Lord, what can I do? Your servant is listening. What can I do, Lord? What a pleasure, what a privilege it is to hear his voice, isn't it? What a privilege it is to fellowship with him. What a privilege it is to be used by him in any way, shape, or form. Doesn't matter what it is. What a privilege it is. And so even as he began to have the whys, the Lord speaking to us tonight, he didn't go into a lot of explanation. He says, go in the power I'm giving you and deliver Israel from the devil, from the Midianites and the Amalekites. And so we know how that went, right? And even he was unsure, Gideon, as he said, Lord, if you're with me, I'm going to put that rag out or that sheepskin, and if there's dew on it but not the ground, I know you'll be with me. Lord, don't be mad at me, but one more time. I know that was miraculous, but now let the ground be wet and that sheepskin to be dry. And even in his weakness, the Lord was faithful. Sometimes we hear these scriptures or hear these phrases, don't tempt the Lord. Don't question the Lord as if he's going to strike us down or be angry with us. But I look at the examples in the scripture of what people did and how faithful, kind, loving, his loving kindness, his faithfulness, His gentleness, his patience were with his servants. Amen. So even then, when it's like, how is Israel going to do this? We don't have any weapons. We don't even have any food. The enemy stole everything. We don't have anything. So they muster an army together, don't they? And then Malachites and the Midianites gathered. It says they were as thick as locusts. Hundreds of thousands of soldiers to come in once again and take everything that Israel had. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. To take everything. Amen? But not our God. Our God comes to bring life and life that we might have it more abundantly. And so as the devil, as the enemy, was gathered there, hundreds of thousands of soldiers. And you know this story. Just a reminder, Father, encourage us. I don't know how many soldiers the Israelites have, but God said, you got too many. You've got way too many. Because I know you might have 50,000, they have 300,000, but somehow you're going to say, yep, we found the strength. Maybe we're at a time in this nation, as believers and people, God's going to do something that we can't do. It's not going to be in our strength. It's not going to be in our ability. Maybe God's saying to America, you got too many men. I'm going to do something powerful in this nation that no man can take glory for. Amen. Hallelujah. That no man can take glory for. And so he says, okay, they're at a brook. And all those who get down in all fours and just suck the water to their mouth instead of lapping it up, let them go home. A lot of people, preachers, teachers will say that all because they weren't aware or watching what was going on. But God didn't need anybody watching or being aware. God just needed those 300 people that were probably shaking in their boots to have faith to do what God asked them to do. So with those 300 men, what happened? God went down, and even he gave him another sign. So he went close to the enemy's camp, and he said, man, I had a dream. I think he said it was like a loaf of bread rolling into the camp, causing mayhem. Who's the bread of life? Amen. Jesus. Why would he see a loaf of bread? In that, one of the Midianites said, I had this dream. We got a whooping. And it was a loaf of bread rolling in through this camp. Must have had too much pizza. Yeah. That could not have been real. But yet it was another example of God confirming what he was going to do. Father, we thank you for confirmation that we'll see, that we'll know that you're ready to do something in this nation. Father, we thank you for a word. We thank you for confirmation that you'll speak to your saints, that you're doing something in our lives, in our families' lives. Father, we thank you for speaking to us and saying, oh, mighty man or mighty woman of valor. We don't have the wise. We just say, Lord, yes, we're moving forward. Amen? Amen. And so what happened to the Amalekites? They turned on one another. They actually turned on each other, and there was a great slaughter. Israel was saved. Amen. Israel was saved from the enemy suddenly. There's so many examples of Israel, which we're modern day, the church, this modern day period right now. We know God is doing a work in Israel, but I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ, joint heirs with Christ, joint heirs with Abraham. Amen. And so see what God's doing now in the earth. And Lord, thank you for a word of encouragement. You know, he wants to speak to us. I'm telling you, he wants to speak to us. Like I told you this past week when I was picking out those pots, did you hear that story? And the Lord just showing me. He's so faithful in those little ways, not because I'm a pastor, not at all. He wants to do that for all people. I think about Moses, and his sidekick was Joshua. You know this, I've said this before, and there was people prophesying in the camp. I mean, they're declaring the word of the Lord. And what did Joshua say to Moses? Stop them. Lord, stop them. And what did Moses say? Oh, that all of God's people were prophets. Meaning that they heard his voice. Amen. God's desire is always to speak to his people individually. The word of God that it goes forth here, yes, he wants it wants to be seed and watered, but for individuals, you and I, day by day, he wants to speak to us. And tonight, as the Lord is speaking to us, I believe he's saying, no whys, please. No more whys. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? But Lord, that we'd be attentive and say, Lord, I'm ready for the enemy to get a whipping. And for myself and my family to be a part of it. Thank you for that, Father. How we love you, Father. Lord, how we love you. We love his word. We're in Romans 13. We were spent 3 weeks in Romans 12. How delightful it was, Jim. How delightful it was. So this one is a good chapter, and I've got an appendix, an addition here I want to read that I've kind of did some research, because when we read Romans 13, we're going to start out by reading the first six verses of Romans 13 in the New American Standard Version. It says, every person is to be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. Another translation says, no authority allowed or that's unseen. God knows every authority on this earth. For there is no authority except from God. Did you hear that? There's no authority except from God. I have to say, sometimes we'll read these verses and we got to be careful how we read them. We assume some things, depending on how you're raised, perhaps. Perhaps how you were taught. We can read certain scriptures and then we can believe a certain way our whole entire life, and it may not be 100% accurate. It may not be accurate at all. But it says, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, verse 2, therefore whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and those who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. Verse 3, for rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Verse 4. For it is a servant of God to you, for it is a servant of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear this, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a servant of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Verse 5. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. Verse 6, for because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. And then I guess I'm going to read verse 7, Bill. It says, pay all what is due them, tax to whom taxes due, custom to whom custom, respect to whom respect, honor to whom honor. And so you could read that and you could look at that and say, okay, every mandate from the government given to us, we've got to follow. But is that true? I want to read real quick. I think this is a good appendix here. And it says Romans 13 is significant to Americans' history because it played a critical role in the American Revolution. Loyalists who favored obedience to king and parliament quoted Romans 13 for obvious reasons. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. The text read in the language of the time. A phrase later on in the passage has entered the English language. The powers that be are ordained of God. Law, order, and loyalty to an imperial government were all bound up in this phrase. But surprisingly, political and religious leaders who favored the American Revolution were even more eager to quote Romans 13. Their reasoning turned on the justification that Paul gave for obeying government. And then it goes on, it talked a little bit about Sessions, who was the senator in Alabama, and he also was Trump's for a spell. What was he? He was the attorney general. Is that what he was? Yeah, so it says, their reasoning turned on the justification that Paul gave for obeying government. Sessions said that government was created for the purpose of order. But revolutionary clergy quoted Paul directly. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. In a study on how the Bible was used in the American Revolution, the historian James Byrd argues that American patriots rejected against the notion that Romans 13 required unconditional obedience. Instead, he wrote, they preached from the text to deny that Paul gave kings the right to tyranny, though. As the Anglican priest and regimental chaplain David Griffin said in his sermon on Romans 13, Paul never meant to give sanction to the crimes of wicked and despondent government and men. You know, John Calvin argued that all the powers that be were ordained by God, including not just the king, but also all the lesser magistrates. Those lower ranked officials were expected to resist kings when tyranny and insult over the humbler of the people. And Calvin listed the people in the Bible who had resisted slavish obedience to the depraved wishes of lawfully constituted authority, where loyalists invoked the law and order interpretation of Romans 13. Patriot clergy argued that only just authorities were to be obeyed. You know, if Romans 13 had been where we just obey the ruling government, we would have never had a Revolutionary War. We would have never had a Civil War, most likely. You know, the debates in the 1850s over whether Romans 13 required obedience or resistance to the Fugitive Slave Act. You know, so if a slave ran away, the law was you've got to return them to the owner. And so clergy and people, when God was during the Great Awakening, were saying, no, we're not doing that. We're not going to obey that law. We'll go to jail before we'll obey that law. It may be a law of the land, but that's against our conscience, and we believe that's against our God. That somebody who's a slave and somebody else's property, we have to return them. There was a Fugitive Slave Act. It was more broadly over whether the Bible supported enslavement or abolition. It fractured the Bible's authority in the public churches. There was a certain parts of churches that said, no, we've got to do exactly whatever laws are made, we've got to follow them exactly. And there was churches and other churches and clergy and patriots said, no, we've got to do what God's law says. We got to do what's right. If you believe in tyranny or things that are against God, we won't follow those laws. If you think about it, if the apostles had followed the laws of the Romans and of the Israelites or the priests, they would have quit following Christ. What were they told? Remember in the book of Acts, quit preaching in his name. We're ordering you by law to quit preaching in his name. And what did they say? Is it right for us to be obedient to you or to be obedient to God? So our obedience as far as government are those laws that line up with truth. What are the truths that we're fighting for? The unborn. God made male and female. That's it. He wants to set people free. We are understanding that people struggle and need freedom, but he is the way. Grace doesn't say live any way you want. Grace says, hey, God has set me free. I can live the way he designed me to be. I can live the way that he made me to live. So when we have laws that are trying to press against the church, that's when we stand up and say, enough is enough. No, we will not follow those laws. It's crazy to think now that in 1850, there was a battle. Should we take slaves that have ran away and to return them to their owners? That was a battle. That was a battle within the church. And so today in our time, it's the same battle. Patriots for truth, standing up for truth, declaring the truth. While there will be others, there are brothers and sisters in Christ that'll say, no, we must follow the laws of the land as they are given to us. I don't believe in that, do you? Let me read. I'm going to run down to 1 Timothy, the scripture a little bit below that. 1 Timothy 1, 6 through 11 in the Good News Translation. This is what laws were designed for. This is what the laws that God designed or would have us to follow. It is hard to understand. Is God the creator of heaven and earth? Is God the ruler of this world? Well, he rules this world, but he's given it over authority, right? And so we have governments like China. Does God agree with the Chinese government? No. Other other governments that oppose him. There's a body of Christ within them. We don't know exactly why God allows those things to remain. We don't know. And then all of a sudden, Russian government, or the Russian government falls, right? And we and out of nowhere, it crumbles. The gospel rushes in. Oh, how I wish God would just release and save and liberate the people of North Korea. I don't know why they remain in chain and darkness, but I pray that God would release that country out of that, under the bondage and the hold of Satan, under darkness, where they're brainwashed that their leader is God. A complete lie. Why these things happen, we don't know. But we know in this country that we have a constitution based on our freedom of religions. So we have to stand up. Say, Lord, we don't want to be like those. I've had people come to me and say, Chad, I can't get involved in that because I'm just focusing on saving people and leading people to the Lord. I said, I understand that focus, but we want to have that right. We want to continue to have that right. So you've got to be mature enough to do what you're doing, but also to enter into this other arena to have a voice. Lord, let us be mature enough to, when I say mature enough, to enter into the arena of politics and not have a spirit of murder. Can I be honest? Slay them all. Lord, let the times of Gideon flow again. Whatever he wants to do, though. However he wants to handle evil, right? However he wants to handle evil, he'll take care of that. One of the reasons we have this small school that we started up here is so that we can have some control. It's only 10 kids, but it means a lot to me. It means a lot to me. We don't know what laws, edicts are going to come down the pipe in the future. When the world is motivated by fear and lies, we don't know what's going to happen. Let me say it, I'll say this Sunday, I'm not ever going to close this church down. I won't make it a one beat drum just about politics, but as things come up, I just realize that if I don't, there could come a day where they say you're not preaching here anymore. It's against the law to preach truth. We're going to tell you what you can or cannot preach, and if I don't say anything, it'll be in my conscience that I was part of the reason, and others, that this has happened because we pretended like it wasn't happening. I run into so many people who say, I wish other, you know, pastors would say something from the pulpit. For some reason, there's this muzzle that they can't say anything, even though the people that they're declaring and preaching to wish they would. But something that says a brainwashing, or I don't know, the enemy says, you can't talk about that. As we talk about Romans 13, that's why we bring this up. How do we obey the government, and how do we not obey the government? Let me read from, I'm going to get there now, Bill. 1 Timothy 1, 6 through 11 in the Good News Translation, it says, some people have turned away from these and have lost their way in foolish discussions. Verse 7, they want to be teachers of God's law, but they do not understand their own words or the matters about which they speak with so much confidence. Verse 8 says, we know that the law is good if it is used as it should be used. And people say, yeah, Chad, you've got to declare the law. You've got to declare the old covenant. But we got to keep going. Let's not just stop there. Verse 9 says, it must be remembered, of course, that laws are made not for good people, but for lawbreakers and criminals. We're talking about laws for society. We're talking about laws for society. Let me read that again in verse 9. It must be remembered, of course, that laws are made not for good people, but for lawbreakers and criminals, for the godless and sinful, for those who are not religious or spiritual, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for the immoral, for sexual perverts, for kidnappers, for those who lie and give false testimony, or who do anything else contrary to sound doctrine, So they're saying it doesn't sound like he's given a list of the do's and don'ts of the Ten Commandments. He's talking about those laws that we have in society. Against, there's no law that says thou shalt not kidnap, but we know we don't want any kidnapping, right? So he's given an example that laws that are wholesome, laws that are good, that are for society, that are good for wicked people because they don't have any conscience or they don't have a spirit of God in them, so they have to be restrained. You and I, under the Spirit of God that lives in us and his law is within our hearts, we're not restrained. We're set free. Laws are to restrain people. And that's why in society they keep putting up more laws, more laws, more laws, as if laws are going to change people's hearts. The laws will never change people's hearts. But they make more laws as people need to be restrained. And now we've come to a point where people have this bright ideal. Let's just get rid of all the laws, and then we will have utopia. And so what we've seen on that end is if as cities have gone that route, now we have what we have, crime running rampant. Where I read a couple days ago that now the mayor in Seattle saying, we've got to have more police officers. Last summer she was saying, we got to defund the police. Or if you have it, you have these mayors in these cities who spend a lot of money for their own protection, but yet defund the police for the general public. Laws are there to restrain the wicked. In the mind of people who don't know God, void of God, they're saying, okay, we've made more laws and it's not worked. Let's just remove the laws and then we might have people. Summer of Love. But they were calling it Seattle. Father, we thank you for wisdom for your people. Wisdom coming out of darkness. People who don't know the Lord, people who are walking in evil need laws. If they didn't have a law, thou shalt not murder, or if I'd go to prison, I still wouldn't do it because of the Spirit of God in me knowing that's wrong. But for those who don't know the Lord, they have to have those restraints. For you and I, it's actually those restraints removed that bring us into freedom. Do you understand what I'm saying there? Are you following me? We thank you. It's 1 Timothy 6:11 stating that laws, yes, it's good for society, for the wicked, for the evil, for those who don't know the Lord. Amen. Amen. Bill, I'm going to go back up to verse 8 of Romans 13. It says after we've spoken of that, it says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. Amen. For one who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Who is love, by the way? God is love. God living inside of you and I is the fulfillment of the law. Amen. Verse 9 says, for this you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. We know that God is love. Just going back to Romans 7, just so there's no confusion. Does that mean I've got to follow the law? No. Remember, I'm going to go back to Romans 7, Bill. You don't have to worry about this. I'm going to read Romans 7, verse 4. It says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, you also were put to death in regard to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might belong to another, to him who raised from the dead, hallelujah, in order that we might bear fruit to God. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were brought to light by the law were at work in the parts of our body to bear fruit to death. But now we have been raised from the law. We have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the spirit and not in oldness of the letter. So these things that are summed up in love is that royal law of love, his spirit in us, directing us, leading us towards love, leading us towards forgiveness, leading us in the mind of Christ. for God is love. Amen and amen. Amen. Let's continue on, Bill, in verse 11. I think we can finish this chapter. Do this knowing the time that is already the hour for you to awaken from the sleep. Aren't you glad you're awakening? Do you feel like you're awakening to Him? I know it. Continually awakening to Him, growing in Him, an excitement, a ear to hear Him, eyes to see Him, for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. Verse 12, the night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let's rid ourselves of the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Talking about our growth in Him, amen? 13, let's behave properly as in the day. Not in carousing and drunkenness. Not in sexual promiscuity and debauchery. Not in strife and in jealousy. But put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. I mean, Lord, we're dead to these things. Dead to sexual sin. Dead to drunkenness. Carousing. Amen? Aren't you glad you're not carousing? Yeah. Amen, Jim? I'm not saying anything, Jim. I don't know much about your past, so I'm nothing that you would think. Promiscuity. Thank you, Lord. Promiscuity and debauchery. Not in strife and jealousy. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I go back to Romans 6, 20 through 23 says, For when you were slaves of sin, Romans 6, 20 through 23. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free to in relation to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, well, I'm glad to belong to Him, aren't you? I'm glad to be enslaved to Him. When I think of enslaved Him, I think, Lord, I can't help but give You the glory and the honor. I can't help but follow You. Being a slave to God is an honor. Don't think of it as something like, and not in its right format. God has been a slave to Him, saying, God, I belong to You. Lord, I belong to the way, the truth, and the life. I belong to peace. I belong to rest. I belong to provision. I belong to strength. I belong to direction. I belong to freedom. I belong to health. That's what it means when it says I'm a slave to God. I'm happy to be a slave to God. A bondservant of Jesus Christ. A joint heir. His son. His daughter. Amen. While we're here on earth. You derive your bit. It says, I love this, but now, verse 22, Bill says, but now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit. Thank You, Lord, for the benefits of God, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. Hallelujah. 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gracious gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can we stand up together and pray a minute? Father, we thank You again. Thank You for Your word speaking to us. Thank You, Lord, for Your word speaking to us. Father, if there's anything I know this evening that You are speaking to our hearts is, Lord, thank You that we don't have a heart of why, Lord. Not a why, Lord. Let me just hit that real quick again. Father, thank You that we don't continue to have a heart, anything in our hearts that says why, but have an ear saying, Lord, what can I do? Lord, what do You have for me? Lord, thank You for speaking to me about my children in the night, prophesying over those children, prophesying over those grandchildren. Amen? Lord, thank You that even in those situations, some of the things that have happened in our lives, it can be why? And thinking of Gideon and him saying that, and the Lord just saying, hey, go forward, you mighty man. And then meeting with that man who was telling me why, and seeing the resentment, the bitterness, the anger that had his life bound because of the questions of why. Father, we break that over our lives in Jesus' name. Father, we break that in our over our lives in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for freedom and ears to hear. Do this, son or daughter. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for that. Thank you for ministering to your people. Right now, thank you for your ministering to us, your people, with fresh touch, with your goodness, with your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said,
amen. Amen and amen.